Today on The Journey.
The study of Revelation is for moral instruction. It should be taken to heart. It should be applied to our life. These things are going to happen in the future. Yes, they are. Should they impact the way we live today?
You better believe it.
It's described as the most frightening book in the Bible. Its majestic scenes and descriptive prose at once thrill and humble the soul. Today, Ron Moore begins a survey of this, the last book of the Bible, not merely to inform and enlighten, but to change your life for good. Before that, we want to offer you a copy of Ron's printed devotional, More Than Words. It contains 30 daily meditations that open up the Lord's Prayer so you can see all the treasure hidden there. You can get yours when you call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with The Revelation of Jesus Christ, On the Journey.
Take your Bibles and open to the last book, the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the people of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation is a translation of the Greek word apocalypsis. We get our word apocalypse from it. And a lot of times when you think of the word apocalypse, you think of terror and you think of devastation and you think of destruction. But the word simply means an unveiling or an uncovering of something hidden. Supernaturally making known to man what he is incapable of discovering by himself. So this book of Scripture demonstrates God's love to us, demonstrates that he cares so much about us. He wants us to know, even in the difficult times of life, that he's never going to leave us, that he's never going to forsake us, that he will always be there for us, that he wins, and we will celebrate that victory forever and ever and ever. Now, certainly, when God reveals these things to us and describes the indescribable, when he speaks to our temporal minds eternal things, certainly there are going to be signs and there are going to be symbols. And some of them are going to be hard to understand, and they're going to result in different interpretations of the book. But I promise you this thing, we will not miss the big picture. Because I know this for certain, that Christ is coming again. He wins. And we're going to celebrate that victory forever. Revelation of Jesus Christ, it's about him. It is from him. And he wants us to know that he's coming again. Are you ready for him to come back? Are you living in expectation? Jesus sums up the book in the next to last verse, chapter 22, verse 20, when he says, "Yes, I am coming." And John responds, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Is that your response to this book? That's the theme of the book. Yes, I am coming. Can you respond like John? Amen. So be it. Come. The revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 1, which God gave to him. Jesus is the mediator. God is the source. God's words are always true. His words are always certain. In the book of Daniel, as he tells the mysteries to King Nebuchadnezzar, he says, God is the one who reveals mysteries. God is the source. Jesus even said, no man knows the hour, not the angels, not even me, only God the Father. And notice how he transmits the book to us. It's from God. He's the source. It's to Jesus, his son, the mediator, then an angel, John says. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant, then John, then to the reader, and then to the hearers. So from God to Jesus, an angel, John to the reader's hearers. Now we're not told who this angel was, but just think for a second as John gets this revelation. This was a special messenger of God with a high and powerful and majestic appearance. We know that because in Revelation 19, John describes that angel a bit. And he says, when I saw that angel at this, I fell to his feet to worship him. He was so majestic. But he said to me, don't do it. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. So here's a beautiful angel of heaven reminding John, it's about God. It's about the fact that he wins. It's about the fact that you're going to celebrate that victory forever. Worship God. Look again at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ that he gave to show his servants what must soon take place. Now you say, soon take place. That's interesting because this book was the last book of the New Testament written around 95 AD. So that doesn't sound very soon to me. And if you're thinking that, you're not the first person to think that, and you're not the first person to pose that question. Turn back four books to 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years a day. And he is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So in the Lord's eyes, 1,000 years is just like a day to us, and a day like 1,000 years. And so when God says it's soon, it is soon in his mind. Maybe long to us, soon for him, but it will happen. I want to say two things about this phrase, what must soon take place. First, in prophecy, the prophets are not concerned necessarily with chronology. They are concerned with the imminency of what's going to take place. And so all the prophets will say, it's going to take place soon. It's just like it's going to be tomorrow. It's so vivid in their eyes. It is imminent and it is certain. Secondly, the words translated, what must take place soon, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen immediately. But it does mean there's an emphasis that when it starts to happen, it's going to be happening quick. Rapid succession. Boom, 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 boom. And you're not going to miss it. We see this when Jesus spoke to those about the last day. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 13. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You don't know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and he puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and he tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or whether the rooster crows or at dawn, if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. You see the certainty in the words of Christ, the urgency in the words of Christ. It may be 1,000 years from now, one day in the mind of God, but you be ready. It is certain, and it may come tomorrow. It may come this afternoon. Watch. Live with that expectation. Live with that certainty. For those who do, look at verse 3. Here's a statement of blessing. Blessed is the one who reads the words of prophecy. In this day, there was a reader who would read to the congregation. So blessed is that one who reads. Today, that's all of us. All of us can read this. And blessed are those who hear it. And blessed are those who take it to heart what is written, because the time is near. Not just sound vibrating your eardrums. That's not what he means by hearing. He means to hear it and take it into your heart and take it into your mind. And not only take it in, but live it out. Understand it. Apply it. Again, I want to emphasize that the study of Revelation is more than doing a chart. The study of Revelation is more than keeping a notebook of interesting data as we seek to understand the seven seals and the two witnesses and the women and the dragon and the beast from the sea and the beast from the earth. The study of Revelation is for moral instruction. It should be taken to heart. It should be applied to our life. These things are going to happen in the future. Yes, they are. Should they impact the way we live today? You better believe it. It's not something that's just going to happen out there, and that's fine when it happens. What's going to happen out there better impact what I'm doing today. Again, turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Heavens will disappear with a roar. Elements will be destroyed by fire. Earth and everything in it laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, since it's going to happen, then what kind of people ought you be? See, Peter doesn't say, that's going to happen. Take notes on it. Look forward to it. Watch movies on it. He says, because that's going to happen, how is that going to impact you now? So he says in verse 14, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort now that you be found blameless and spotless and at peace with him. Chapter 1, verse 4, we see the author is John. We'll talk more about him later. He's the Apostle John, one of the three intimate friends of Jesus, writer of the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. The recipients are the seven churches in the province of Asia. These were real churches. They were living and growing people just like you and me. As we study through these seven churches, you'll find they had some problems and some challenges just like you and I do. Grace and peace, he says to you. The grace of God, the free gift of God, and peace which comes when you know him. Not only peace with him, but that's the experience of the Christian life. And he says this grace and peace comes from three sources. Grace and peace to you, verse 4, the last part of it, from him who is and him who was and who is to come. This grace and peace comes from God the Father. This is an allusion to Exodus chapter 3, where God tells Moses, I am who I am. I am the self-existing one. I am the eternal one. All time, present and the future is embraced in God. He has always been. He will always be. Look at verse 8. Again, God says, I am the Alpha and Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty God. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. I'm the A and Z and every letter in between. Everything that happens in the course of human history, I am sovereign over. Nothing takes me by surprise. He is the Almighty, describing His omnipotence, describing His power, describing His universal rulership. For anyone who would be foolish enough to think that He is not able to carry out everything He says, it's going to happen in this book. So God is the source of all grace and peace in all of life's situations. And whatever we're doing, whatever we're in, we can know that He is sovereign. The God who loves us, who sent His Son, is sovereign. The God who loves us is complete. The God who loves us is in charge of every thing that happens in our life. All are omegas and alphas. He's a God who is there, who is all powerful, and can deliver us and sustain us through any situation. The second source of grace and peace here is the Holy Spirit. Grace and peace to you from the seven spirits before His throne. Granted, this is an unusual way to describe the Holy Spirit, but many take this description as referring to the sevenfold work of the Spirit that Isaiah the prophet describes in chapter 11, verse 2. Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on Him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord." The sevenfold manifestation of the Spirit of God. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit. Some others believe it's angels or special messengers. But the Holy Spirit, because it's right here between God and Jesus Christ, who is next, who is the third source. Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. Who is the faithful witness? Jesus is the one who gives witness to the eternal God. John 1 says, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, Jesus, He has made Him known." You want to understand God's power? Look at Jesus, the faithful witness. You want to understand God's compassion? Here's Jesus, the faithful witness. You want to understand God's love for you, not just in words, but in the depth of His sacrificial love for you, there's Jesus, the faithful witness, hanging on the cross. You want to see the power of God? Here's Jesus, the faithful witness. He's risen from the dead. The word witness is the Greek word martys, which we get our word martyr from. Some of the first Christians who read this were going to go through deep times of persecution. And so Jesus, they would read, He's a faithful martyr. He's the one who went through the utmost persecution, and He stood firm, never compromising the truth. He's our model. He's the one we can follow. He's a faithful witness. He is, isn't He? And we're going to be with Him forever. Secondly, He is the firstborn from the dead. Because He rose from the dead, and because He is the firstborn from the dead, Paul tells us, we're going to rise from the dead too. We're going to identify with Him. We're going to be just like Christ. One day our bodies, if Christ doesn't return, are going to go in the grave. But you know what? We're going to rise again. Firstborn from the dead. Faithful witness. He's a ruler, John says. He's the ruler of the kings of the world. We're living in a time where it doesn't seem that He's a ruler, does it? I mean, look at our world. Look at the terrorist attacks. Was God in charge of that? Is He on the throne? The problems in the Middle East, wars and rumors of wars, all over the world, persecutions of Christians. Is God really in charge? From our hard experience, it seems to contradict our confession. But we know behind all that chaos, He's in charge of it. He takes the ruler's heart, Proverbs says, and He takes it any which way He wants it to go, like streams of water. And He's using all that chaos to bring into reality the end of time, His second coming, and the demonstration of what is true right now. He is a ruler over all. At the end of verse 5, John breaks into a doxology, but let's keep looking at his descriptions of Christ. He says, "To Him who loves us." By the way, that verb's in the present. It's the word agape. In the present tense means that He keeps on doing it. It's a fact of history. He's never going to stop loving us. And He didn't just talk about love. He demonstrated it. He has freed us, John says, from our sins by His blood. The verb freed is not in the present tense. It's in the aorist tense, which means it was a real historical event, but it keeps on working. One time for all time, once for all, finished work. Jesus died on the cross, and in that historical act of sacrifice and obedience, once for all, He freed us from sin and loosed the chains that bound us for eternity. He has made us a kingdom of priests. kingdom here refers to the body of Christ. He's made us a kingdom, but he's also made us priests, speaking to us individually. Because of his death on the cross, we have 24/7 access to God. We go directly to him. He has made us, not we. He is the one who made us a kingdom and priests. John says, to him be the glory forever and ever. Look at verse 7. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Clouds in Scripture, you follow through, have always been a sign of divine activity. Whether God is leading the children of Israel through the desert with that little cloud, or whether Christ is disappearing in the clouds at his ascension, he is coming with the clouds, always a sign of divine activity. So every time you go see a cloud, every time you look up and you see a cloud, what should it remind you of? God's at work. He's coming in the clouds and every eye will see him. In contrast to his first coming in that little sleepy village of Bethlehem, no one's going to miss this one. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Even those who put the sword in his side will one day bow before him and have to acknowledge him as Lord. Every knee will bow. Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He's coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, even those who had no room for him in their lives. And all the people of the earth will mourn because of him. You know why they're going to mourn? Not because they're sad that they pierced him. Because the eternal judgment is here. And when they see him, it's going to be too late to do anything about it. Their mourning, their wailing will be their destination. They rejected the one they pierced. Are you ready for his return? See, one day we're going to stand in front of Christ. It may be through our physical death, maybe as he comes in the clouds. We don't know. Are you ready? Are you ready to see Jesus Christ?
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. Have you ever happened upon an old, familiar trunk stored in the attic that you'd never opened? It had been there for years, a constant companion to your family heirlooms, but to that point, unexplored. Then one day, you had a look inside and discovered treasures you'd only dreamed of. Items with rich history that revealed more about you and your heritage than you ever knew existed. Well, that's a lot like the spiritual wealth found in the Lord's Prayer. In his devotional, More Than Words, Ron Moore unlocks and opens this favorite biblical passage. He compares Scripture with Scripture to unveil the rich concepts the Lord Jesus intended for you to find and enjoy. Items like living in awe of God, living in forgiveness, and seeking spiritual protection. We'll send More Than Words to you for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
So the first thing John describes in this initial encounter with Jesus Christ, look at verse 10. Lord's Day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a voice that was loud, like a trumpet. Down in verse 15, his voice was like the sound of rushing water, powerful. It was mighty. John says, I heard the voice say in verse 11, write on a scroll what you see and send it to these seven churches. And as we study those churches, we will see that their message is certainly applicable and relevant to us today.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember our offer of Ron's devotional booklet, More Than Words. Understanding its biblical truths will revolutionize your prayer life, and it's yours for a gift of any amount. You'll find it at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. or you may call 724-731-2018, 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org, BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.